That was really a perfect song to lead up to this, because the name of Jesus is very powerful, and it's very powerful in India. India is, in a lot of ways, a very ugly place. There's a lot of spiritual darkness there. There's a lot of poverty and disease. There's 27 million babies are born in India each year, but 2 million of them don't even live. The population of the country itself is 1.2 billion people, and it's a third the size of the U.S. 40% of those people are children under the age of 14. So it's the perfect place for children's ministry. And the video that we showed last hour was of this year's children's ministry that I just got back from Thursday night. And at the end it said, from thousands of little brown faces, thank you for your prayers. And that's from my heart as well. Thank you for your prayers and for your support. I love that Jean has been emphasizing the corporate nature of the body of Christ, because when we're there doing that ministry, we're constantly praying and thanking God for the people back home that gave so that we could be there, that are praying to protect us and make the ministry powerful. People that have helped print memory verses, helped put together crafts. There's a lot of fingerprints and a lot of heart prints in India from many of you people here and others across America and across Australia. So God has been using us in that ministry for the last 17 years. We first started in 2000, and we've been doing it every year since, except we missed 2 years ago because the pastor had a heart attack. And, you know, the Bible says in Psalm 127 that children are a gift from the Lord. They're a reward. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And I quote that verse not just to encourage Blair and Aurora to have 4 or 5 more kids, but because a child is an arrow that you send out to touch a time and a place that you cannot. And we see this happening in India because we're working there consecutively year after year. There are grown-ups coming to us with 3 or 4 little kids of their own, and they say, we came to CBS, Children's Bible School. You know, we were in your classes when we were little, and now we're bringing our own children. And so we see the continuing nature of it, which just really, you know, blesses our heart. But we also see that the ministry there is being multiplied as people have grown up in the ministry and seen the way it works and seen the effect of it. Then they go out to their villages and other churches in the area and beyond, and they reproduce what they grew up with. So that's really rewarding as well. The second church that we did, that we had a 4-day program at, on the outskirts of Hyderabad, and there were 5 young men that were helping as volunteers, that were helping with my senior class, and they all came up to me at one point and they said, we're 25 years old and we started coming to CBS when we were 10 years old, and now they're there helping. One of the men was a IT worker in Bangalore, which I think is about 8 hours from Hyderabad. He took a week off work and came back to Hyderabad just to help with the children's ministry. So things like that are really, really fun. The tricky thing for me is leaving, because when you see the faces on the video, so many of those faces have a story that the video can't tell. There was one picture where my little grandson, Max, was standing next to a young girl. Her name is Teresa. She was born into a Hindu family, and her father said to the mother when she was born, kill her. And the father said, or the mother said, I don't want to kill her. She's my baby. And he said, you either kill her or I will kill both of you. And so she put Teresa out on the street, and a woman in Pastor John Francis's church heard about that little baby and went and got Teresa and raised her, and now she's just a beautiful, smiling little girl that has come to Christ. But even when I'm there and there's a church full of little children and they're so eagerly receiving the gospel and coloring the books and they're just having like such a good time, I just look at their faces and I know that behind every face and behind every child's story, there's a home that they have to go back to that are mostly filled with Hindu parents, Hindu grandparents, a Hindu village, Hindu community. And the only way that we have to reach those people is through the children and through the materials that we send home to the children. So when it gets to the end of the ministry, I just always get a little bit emotional, because I just look out at that vast number of souls, and God has just given me a huge burden for their salvation. So please pray for that. India is rapidly changing in many ways, for the better and for the worse. The government right now has declared that they want India free of Christians by 2021. But we serve an almighty God, and we're praying along with the Indian people that India will be full of Christians by the year 2021. It's becoming, as the society kind of changes and the culture kind of changes, more people are being exposed to Western culture through internet, through jobs, through travel in and out of the country. I can see that they're starting to kind of question the Hindu faith as well. And they're starting to have open forums where Hindu priest and a Muslim mullah and a Christian apologist will stand up in a public forum and basically debate. And so people are becoming a little bit more open-minded about Christianity. And I was just telling the ladies at lunch, I had a cab driver going to the airport Thursday morning, and he asked me what I was doing in India. And since I was about to leave the country, I said I was there doing children's ministry. I said, "Do you know about the Christian faith?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I know." And he said, "I'm a Hindu, but I have so many problems, and I have no peace in my soul. I'm beginning to think maybe I need to become a Christian." So in a lot of ways, there's a little bit more openness coming about. So there's a huge spiritual struggle there, as there is in Pakistan and many other countries of the world, as there is in the United States of America. So it's no time to become lazy in our prayer life and in asking an almighty God that has died for the souls of every man and every woman and every child in the world to ask him to move in powerful ways to reach them for salvation. You notice several pictures of a little white-faced boy, blue eyes, blonde hair. That was our grandson, Max. So it was really a fun thing for us. We've had all of our children on the mission field except our oldest son, Carson. We've had them all on the mission field with us at some point in their life. But this is the first grandchild that we've had the opportunity to come along. So that was really fun. He did a great job, and the kids loved him. He was a little bit shy the first day, but after that he warmed up and he just had the best time. He was turned 7 yesterday. There were 2 times that I saw Max cry, and that was at the end of the first CBS when there was that huge room full of children. That was only one of the classes. There were 2 other classes that weren't even in that picture yet. So there were hundreds of children, and he cried when we got back to the apartment because he thought he was going to get to shake the hand of every single child, and he didn't get to. And that broke his heart because he said, "But Mom, I'll never see him again. I didn't get to shake their hand." And then the other time I saw him break down and cry was when Katie said, "We have to leave in 3 days. We have to leave India in 3 days. He said, "But I want to be here 10 weeks. So we might have either a little blessing or a little problem on our hand. I'm not sure which. But that was really fun. So I don't want to take a lot of time, but if you have any questions that I can answer shortly, I'd be happy to do that. Or you can ask in private. Does anybody have any questions? Anything I haven't covered? Yes, Mary.
Were you there and that little Muslim girl was raped until she died?
No, that was up in the north. I was there when it happened. Actually, we didn't have any TV for most of the time, but the last couple nights I was there, I was in a hotel room, and I could get CNN and BBC. But that was an eye-opener. But they were covering, they were covering that a lot, because she wasn't the only one. It's happening repeatedly. And it's basically religious and tribal strife, and so they, because there's enmity against, from Satan against the woman, so they pick these young women and they basically say, "Okay, well, this is what we're going to do to your young women."
6-year-old.
She was 8, I think. Some other young teenage girls as well. Yeah. Yes.
So the child that was put on the street, why was she put on the street?
She's a girl.
That's what.
As a matter of fact, so usually the churches in India are there's more women or more girls there than boys and men, which is a lot the case in the U.S. as well. But several of the villages that we went to, John Francis even commented, he said there were not very many girls There was a bigger number of boys in attendance. And he said, something is happening in India. And I knew what he meant. And I said, they're killing the little girls. And he said, yes. So, yes.
Are the children that you have associated with, do they live in orphanages or in the
The video that I showed you that we just did the ministry these last 3 weeks, they're in families. We had some come from the slum. There's a slum area just about a mile from the church where we work. Some of the slum kids were there this year, but no, they're in families. So we give them materials. We give them memory verses. We try to make them gospel-type memory verses. They're laminated so that they're permanent. We give them books translated into their language that have the gospel in it. Those things go back into the homes. And the pastor was saying he visits homes from time to time where somebody is sick or somebody needs prayer. He goes into these homes and he says he sees the materials from the children's ministry from years and years and years ago. They put them on the wall. They put them on their bookshelves. They keep the stuff. Whereas in America, the kids wouldn't bother to sing the songs and the craft would be boring. And if they did put it together or color the paper, it would be in the trash, you know, before lunch.
Was the orphanage, that was from Nagaland?
We're going to show a video from an orphanage, and that's in Nagaland. Before we did the ministry in Hyderabad, which is south central India, Gene and I were in Nagaland for 2 weeks. That's where he spoke at the graduation, Kyoto Bible College. And then he did training with youth pastors and women's ministry leaders. And when we were done with that, we go in and out of Tuen Sang, and there's an orphanage there that we help with in Tuen Sang. And so the next video we show will be of that orphanage. So two different places. Nagaland is up in the north. They're tribal people. India, we work down in the south, and they're Indians. Mark?
And then you said those children have to go back to their homes, which may not be a haven for love. How do they get the opportunity to even come to your ministry?
Their parents allow them to come. I mean, we've seen women in burqas registering their children for CBS, for the children's Bible schools. They basically do it because we're there. They know that white people are going to present something that their children won't otherwise hear. They know that those kids are going to get materials, books. We give them a pen and a pencil, little gifts along the way, a craft. So they basically bring them to be exposed to white people and for what they can get. And then we reach them with the gospel. Yes, quite a few. Yeah, if you can catch the little lambs, you often catch the sheep. That's the whole, yeah. Yes?
Do you do baptisms there?
I don't, but Gene and the pastor do. Yeah, he's baptized parents of kids that were at the CBS and they brought their parents to the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, there's government hostility towards Christians, and as Jean said earlier, some of the Hindus will be hostile as well. But you have to also realize that the Hindus believe in millions of gods. So they will take Jesus Christ as a god until they really come to true faith in Jesus Christ. And so when we give the gospel, we're constantly saying, this is the one true and living God of the Bible. And his name is Jesus Christ. So we have to really emphasize that when we give the gospel. So a lot of times it's okay, well, let's hear about this God, you know, and then they'll go home and they'll worship some other God and their idols. And he's just one of many. But you have to start someplace. It's sometimes a long process with Hindu people. As a matter of fact, and Fassel can probably verify this as well, but the pastor's son told me, because I was kind of picking his brain about working with Hindu and Muslim people, and he said, Muslim people will not come to Christ unless they actually see Jesus in a vision or a dream. And that is happening in many cases in the Middle East countries. True?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we hear stories that if I heard in the U.S., I wouldn't believe them, or I'd doubt them, or they'd say, I'd say, well, they're a bit off. But in the context of that part of the world, it happens. We can't put God in a box, because if he sees that a soul is hungry to know Jesus Christ and is questioning and wants answers from God, he'll open up the box and he'll jump out and present himself in ways that we think he doesn't do anymore, because he's faithful. Anything else?